Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry, and sitting in for Adoree Adoji is Farah Jadea.
Hello.
All right. It's time for...
Our government.
Bailout.
Your government.
Energy resources.
Healthcare.
Iraq and Afghanistan.
Global financial recession.
The work that needs to be done.
On Monday morning, our agenda segment attempts to look forward into the week and see what tests you should actually be looking for policy in the Obama administration and other breaking stories around the world. And joining us is Marcus Mabry, international business editor from The New York Times. He's in the studio. And, of course, our pal Todd Zwillick, Capital News Connection in Washington. Todd and Marcus, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So, Marcus, is it fair to say that with all of the big, huge announcements of policy initiatives pretty much out the door, we've got one this morning that we'll talk about in a minute, that this week is about focusing smaller details, aspects of the Obama program, that that's really what we're looking for in the days ahead?
I think there'll be a lot of that, including on the issue we'll talk about in a little while about the announcement we made today. But also, I think there'll also be this issue of looking inside policy and some would argue the lack of policy when it comes to things like the financial industry bailout, for instance. You know, what's being productive, what's not being productive, what details still left to be brought out by the administration.
So increased focus on the program and perhaps more accountability and a discussion of deficits and omissions this week as we go forward. We have an announcement out of the White House this morning that involves science and politics. Todd, can you explain?
Yes. Well, about 11:45, I think this morning, the president's scheduled to have an event, sign an executive order reversing the August 2001 George W. Bush policy on embryonic stem cell research. That policy, it wasn't quite a ban on embryonic stem cell research. In fact, it wasn't a ban at all. What it did was restrict federal funding to embryonic stem cell research on stem cell lines that were already created at the time. The way to think about that is you take an embryo, the embryo has to be destroyed in order to harvest the stem cells. That ruling said that an executive order said that stem cell research federal funding can only be used for ones that were already created. There were about 22 lines. That's not very much. They need thousands to do the research. It's a campaign promise. Obama will reverse that and open the door to the hundreds of millions, if not $1 or $2 billion, probably a little bit less than that, but hundreds of millions of dollars in NIH funding for research. It'll take him a few months to get that up and running, right? Because NIH also has to set down the ethical guidelines for people to apply for the grants and get the stem cells, and most importantly, informed consent from couples who undergo IVF, in vitro fertilization. That's mm-hmm. where most of the embryos come from. So they have to have ethical guidelines to make sure that everybody can donate those properly.
Todd, one thing that definitely intrigued me was there's going to be a whole sort of revision of how the administration looks at science, but we'll talk about that more later. I want to ask you about something completely different, which is the spending bill on Thursday. The Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, wasn't able to hit 60 votes and pass the spending bill. Apparently, profanity was invoked in the Capitol. Never happened before.
Right, never.
Well, you know, let me ask both of you. I'll start with you. Just quickly, what do you see ahead? And I want to get Marcus in on that as well.
Yeah, well, starting tonight, they're going to continue voting on a whole big list of amendments. The reason that deal fell apart was a lot of different senators have a lot of different priorities. One of those is what's called regular order. We want votes on our amendments or else we're not going to cut off debate. That's what happened on Thursday. So starting tonight at 5:30, there's a list of at least a dozen or 14 or 16 amendments that will still be voted on, everything from D.C. school vouchers to Gaza to congressional pay raises. Democrats are in a bit of a box over their own pay raises next year. That's going to be an interesting vote. Lots of those. They hope to pass this probably by Tuesday. They probably get it done once they get these amendments processed.
And can you contextualize this, Marcus, just a little bit in terms of partisan politics and whether or not they're heating up?
Sure. What we're looking at here is this is an omnibus bill, looking at all this, the unfinished business really left over from the Bush administration, the spending bills that still have to be passed. And as Todd was saying, all these amendments were stacked on really kind of as an impediment, kind of as roadblocks. If the Democrats cannot get past these impediments, and I think they will. I think they'll vote on the bill. I think it will pass this week. They have few other options. They had to pass an emergency, continuation bill to just keep the government running since they hadn't passed this bill last week. If the Democrats cannot get this back online and get across these kind of political obstacles that the Republicans are throwing up, definitely, you know, in partisan, with partisan means, partisan ends in mind, and then the Democrats are going to look like they're ineffectual. And I think that's the real danger of this week writ large. The danger is that the Obama administration, the Democratic leadership in Congress, may start to take some hard hits, not just from the Republicans, which is to be expected, but from outside observers start to say, you know, look at these unemployment numbers we saw last week, extraordinary historic numbers. They're going to say, look at the lack of political leadership and ability for the Democrats to get their own agenda through.
The markets are saying that this morning. I mean, it looks like the Dow and S&P are poised to test new lows today. But, you know, so what we need to look for this week in the politics about the spending bill is, does the Democratic Party move forward the wheels of government, or do the Republicans and the critics slow it down to the point where this becomes Obama's recession?
That's exactly right. That's
let me change then and shift gears. I mean, in macroeconomic terms, whatever is decided in Washington, this may be China's recession, in the sense that growth in China or lack of growth in China could be the sort of engine stall that's hurting all of us.
Well, you know, it's kind of extraordinary, John, if we look at it. China has taken on such a role in this global economy. Let's remember, we're talking about a global capitalist economy. The international economy is capitalist. Communism lost that battle, right? So we're in a capitalist system, and yet one of the most important countries, and as you suggest, perhaps the most important country in getting the global system back up and running again, and out of what looks like it's going to be a global downturn at this point, is China, a communist nation. Mm-hmm. It's extraordinary, and it's a really ironic place that China is playing. What we also saw last week, unfortunately, was that it's not a role that China is really comfortable with. It is a role that, you know, we had a former Statistics Bureau chief in China say that the president of China would announce that there would, in fact, be an additional stimulus package to the more than half a trillion dollars they're already going to use to stimulate their economy. And the president didn't do that, and so then the markets tanked. The markets rose in the expectation, tanked in the fact that there was not further stimulus in China. It shows the central importance of that economy now to this global capitalist system.
So just to sum up, I mean, what people need to take from this is uncertainty in Washington, uncertainty in China, the two most important economic players. That's going to lead to more uncertainty going forward.
And not to mention uncertainty in the EU, which is the third one, and uncertainty in Japan, the fourth one.
All right, Todd, I'm going to come back to you. There's so many different things that are happening in the free-for-all right now. There's also a battle over union organizing, and it could lead to some radical changes in labor law. What exactly does a card check mean? And just take us forward into what's going on.
A card check is one of these classic ideological pivot point wedges between Republicans and Democrats. Union elections in companies can either be secret or they can be public, meaning your ballot, whether you choose to join the union or exit the union, can either be secret or open for all to see. And that therein lies the idea of the card check, who's checking your card. There is a hearing in the Senate this week on card check, and that the card check rule has been a strong wedge between Republicans and Democrats. You can imagine that Republicans, who tend to stand up for business, want those union elections to be open. They want everyone to be able to see how you're voting. Democrats would prefer what the unions prefer. The SEIU, the AFL-CIO, and UAW, the big unions, want to be able to unionize shops more easily. And if those are closed ballots, it's easier to do that. And that's going to be a huge, huge wedge.
Well, it's a test it's a huge test of union clout after the campaign, where the unions were really a big part of this campaign. Before we go, Todd, I want you both to listen to this. This is some tape of President Obama talking to New York Times reporters on Air Force One last Friday, and it really sort of tees up an issue that I think is also important to be focused in the developments this week. First, listen to Obama.
At the heart of a new Afghanistan policy is going to be a smarter Pakistan policy. As long as you've got safe havens in these border regions that the Pakistani government can't control or reach in effective ways, you know, we're going to continue to see vulnerability on the Afghan side of the border.
Marcus Mabry, what is a smart Pakistan policy, and what little details this week are likely to illuminate what that might be?
Well, you know, this is the tough challenge, and the specter has been raised. I think Newsweek put it on its cover. Will Pakistan be this president's Vietnam? This has got to be central. This region is a central conflict they will deal with in the same way Iraq was for the Bush administration. I don't think they're clear on what exactly the details will be. I think we will see them emerging this week and next week as well. But I think getting it right is the toughest thing that they face right now.
Todd, is there any posturing on Capitol Hill? Just a one-word answer on the Pakistan issue.
Not yet. It's coming.
Not yet, but it's coming. Marcus Mabry, International Business Editor, New York Times, and Todd Zwillick from Capital News Connection. Thanks to both of you for setting the agenda.